It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are focusing on Calaveras County government today. We're joined in the studio by the Chief Executive Officer of Calaveras County, Teresa Hitchcock. She's been serving in the role since March of 2023. CEO Hitchcock, it's great to have you on Motherlode Views.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm always excited to talk about what's going on in Calaveras County.
You know, for anybody who's unfamiliar with the role, CEO of Calaveras County, what are the things that you all oversee?
So it's exactly like being the CEO of a corporation. I work for the board of supervisors, and whatever their vision and goals for the county are, it's my job to work with our various departments to ensure that we're providing the services and things that they believe are important for our constituents. Of course, the board's elected to make those decisions, and then we're there to carry out their vision.
And this is the first time we've had you on Motherlode Views. So for people who don't know you, what is your background?
So I have 24 years now in local government. I started in Kern County, which is a little bit north of Los Angeles County. It shares a border with LA County. Kern County is a very large county, 8,000 square miles. While I was there, I was in several different roles. I started out as a department analyst and then moved into a marketing manager for our local airport, and then moved over to our admin office where I worked in budget and finance, policy, economic development. I served over the Board of Trade for a while, which was our convention and visitors bureau type organization there. I also ran our workforce development board for a while. So I have just a broad spectrum of government background.
Yeah, sounds like you had a great career there. What attracted you to this area in Calaveras County?
So I was the assistant CAO in Kern, and our CAO was pretty young, and he was very good. So I didn't see him really going anywhere. And if I wanted to actually be at the helm, I knew I was going to have to go to a different county. So I'd looked at a number of different places, but when I saw the listing for Calaveras, it just kind of called to me. And I love the area. It's so beautiful up here.
Well, one thing we want to get into is the new budget that was recently approved by the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors. It's a big happening each year for the fiscal year 2025-26. Can you give us kind of a snapshot of how revenues were this year and how challenging it was to pass that budget?
So it's been a challenging budget year for most local jurisdictions. Of course, there's a lot of uncertainty at the state and federal level, but also revenues are a little bit flat. And so when you have inflationary pressures like we've had over the last year and flat revenue, you're really trying to budget from a deficit perspective. We've been really fortunate. Our board's very, very conservative. So we were in a position to weather the storm maybe a little bit better than some other local governments. We really were focused on not reducing our staffing levels because we do believe this is a temporary situation and that the revenues will come back and we should be able to continue to operate with the same level of staffing. So we're preserving our staffing right now, trying to keep service levels stable for the community, and we're really just watching revenue streams. Right now they seem to be coming in where we've budgeted them, so we're not too concerned, but that could change. As everyone's aware, there's a lot of moving parts right now at the state and federal level, so...
Yeah, what are the types of things that you're keeping a close eye on when it comes to state or federal level and how it could impact your funding?
So at the state level, I know that they had a number of their own budgetary issues, and so they were looking at cutting in various areas. So as we're looking at budget reductions at the state, we look at how that impacts us at the local level. And then the same with the federal government. The federal government has had a number of programs that they're looking at reducing or eliminating. So we need to really track how that's going to affect our local programming as well.
When it comes to Calaveras County government, what are the streams of revenue that you receive?
So there's a lot. Of course, the number one is taxes, as everybody's aware. get property tax. That's probably the most stable source of funding. And then sales tax, transient occupancy tax, which is TOT for folks who are coming in to the area to stay and recreate. We get a little bit on each room, right? And then we also have, of course, our cannabis tax on, because we have legalized cannabis in Calaveras. And then there's SB1 funding that comes in specifically for roads. So there's a number of different revenue streams that come in for specific purposes as well. So from the federal level, we get a lot of revenue for, of course, our programs, our social services programs, behavioral health programs, all of those types of things are mostly federally funded.
Those two revenue streams, TOT and sales tax, really tie into how the local economy is doing in Calaveras County. From a high level, what have you observed? Are they kind of falling, going up, staying about the same?
So they're actually pretty flat. They may be a little bit down, but not significantly down. Again, most of the budgetary issues I believe that we're experiencing, besides the flat revenue, are the inflationary pressures where we're seeing a lot of goods and services that have increased.
What are some of the notable projects or highlights that stand out with this new budget?
So, you know, we have a lot of really big projects going on in Calaveras. We got a very large grant to build a behavioral health building. That grant is for approximately $20 million. Of course, it can only be used to construct a behavioral health facility. So that project is going on. We should be breaking ground in the next 6 months or so on that. We're also going to be constructing a new district attorney facility. The facility that our district attorney is in right now is very old and dilapidated. It's almost embarrassing that we would have them housed there, but we're building a new facility that should also break ground in the next year or so. And then we're also working on a new animal services facility. We're waiting for final plans and specifications. We will have to go out for some sort of financing in order to make that project happen. The other two projects are fully funded at this time, but we believe that the animal services facility is very important to our community, and so we're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
The behavioral health facility and the DA facility, those are both going to be there in San Andreas?
Everything's in San Andreas. So I don't know if many people are familiar with our government center, but we have almost all of our government offices at the same location. So I think it's convenient for the public. If you need to come and do business with the county, you can just come to one location. The district attorney's office will be kind of at the center of the campus. The behavioral health facility is going to be where they are currently located, although now we're relocating them because we have to tear that facility down in order to build the new one. And then the animal services facility will be up closer to the new courthouse and the sheriff's facility.
You know, there's been a lot of questions about the animal services facility in recent years. It's been a project in the works, but that's moving forward, as you say, at this point?
It's moving forward. We're really excited. We have a lot of state-of-the-art systems that have been planned for that building, which should make it much better for the animals that we have in our care, as well as people. We're trying to make it very customer friendly as well, so that when people come in to adopt, they feel like they're at an adoption center for animals. I think it will increase our adoption rates. I know that in Kern County, we went through a process where we had moved facilities to a nicer facility for animal services, and it increased adoption rates dramatically. So we're hoping that that's the case here as well.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking about Calaveras County government happenings on this weekend's Motherload Views. Joined in studio by Teresa Hitchcock. She is the CEO of Calaveras County. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're focusing on Calaveras County on this weekend's Motherload Views, joined in studio by Teresa Hitchcock, who's the CEO of Calaveras County. CEO Hitchcock, when we talked to, during the first segment, you were talking about some of the notable projects that Calaveras County is working on, a new behavioral health facility, a DA facility, and looking at an animal services facility. Those first two, the behavioral health and the district attorney's facility, can you tell us a little bit more about kind of where the funding is coming from and also just kind of what's all going to be there and the size of those projects?
Sure. So the behavioral health building is actually from a grant from the state where they identified that we do not have enough behavioral health facilities for folks who need treatment services or other services. So they put out a grant, a competitive grant process. Our behavioral health applied and was fortunate enough to be funded under that funding stream. A lot of times people wonder why we would spend that much money on a behavioral health facility and not take the money and spend it on animal services. And it's because that money literally cannot be spent on anything else. It has to be spent on a behavioral health facility, which we actually need here in this county. Our behavioral health services were spread out over a number of different locations, and that's not ideal. You really want those services in one place, so people who are seeking substance use treatment or other behavioral health treatments, they can go to one place and get all of the services that they need. The district attorney's building, we had American Rescue Plan funding that we had identified for that facility, and we realized that it was going to expire before we could actually get the plans and specifications done. So we used the money on other allowable uses and then just took general fund dollars and put back for that facility. So it's funded. We do have another source of funding for that that's from the courts, actually. So that building's completely funded as well.
You mentioned Animal Services still looking for funding, so that's a conversation still to be had.
Animal Services is still looking for funding. We always are looking for grant opportunities. Every local government's always looking for grant opportunities. Unfortunately, we're not finding that much for Animal Services, so what we're looking at is potentially going out for a more traditional funding source, like iBank through the state, which is a low-interest loan program that's offered to local governments in order to finance infrastructure. So we've already been in contact with them, and they believe it's a good project for their program. So we're hopeful there, but we're also looking at other financing as well. Of course, we want to make sure we're getting the lowest interest rate and the best program for our facility so that it doesn't cost as much in the long run.
You know, another big project in Calaveras County has been the Highway 4 Wagon Trail Realignment Project that started well before your time as CEO, ending now as your CEO. So what is kind of the current status with that project?
So we are actually finally closing that out. That was a major project. There were a lot of things that came up during the course of that project that caused some delays. I don't know if people realize it, but we did have a number of cultural finds along the way that were pretty exciting, but also caused a number of delays for the highway. But we are in the final stage. We're supposed to be wrapping it up by this fall and then completely closed out by the spring. The closeout part, most people won't notice because that's really when Caltrans comes in and does their inspections and just makes sure that everything's constructed to the plans and specifications that they agreed to. But the closing out in the fall, we shouldn't have any more construction crews out there, so that's going to be really exciting.
That project, was it funded by Caltrans, or was it kind of a joint funding with the county?
So it was a joint funding with the county. I don't think people realize how much local resources we put into that project, but we did believe that it was very important, especially with the fire hazards that we have up here, that we have a really good escape route for folks in case something does happen. It also serves as the main tourism corridor into this area. So we were really looking at how we could better facilitate tourism. Of course, that's good for us because of the revenue that provides. And again, again, that escape route was one of the other essential reasons why we poured a lot of local revenue sources into that project. Caltrans did provide a significant amount of funding for the project as well as oversight, because it is their highway. But the Calaveras COG also has provided a tremendous amount of funding for the project as well. So it's taken a number of different funding sources, kind of cobbling those together in order to get that project done.
So once the current project is completed, are there future projects with the wagon trail? Are there more extensions?
So there's another phase two for Wagon Trail, and Wagon Trail was really about taking some of the curves and the undulation out of the roadway so that it's safer and can be traveled at some more consistent speeds, so that you don't have that kind of go fast here and have to slow down because there's a very short, sharp curve there. So there is a phase two. We are actually in negotiations with the state right now on phase two, and it looks like Caltrans may be actually doing phase two. We're not entirely sure at this time, but we are discussing how phase two will get completed.
Any other notable kind of roads or infrastructure projects that stand out that Calaveras County is working on right now?
So we've done a number of projects around schools in order to do some traffic calming around schools. There was a big project in Valley Springs that is just now wrapping up for safe schools. And then there was a project in Murphy's for a hawk walk, because there was kind of a blind corner where kids were crossing, and we needed to make sure that that was more delineated so that people could see that there was actually a crosswalk there. We have had a number of lighting projects. There was a big signage project for the roadways in order to mark some of the curves. We do have a number of windy country roads up here, and marking the curves to make sure that people knew what was coming up was a big project that our Public Works Department just underwent.
I imagine it's a challenge, too, being so widespread a county. Valley Springs is much different than Arnold. Arnold's different than Angels Camp. You know, allocating the resources and the time and that type of thing to get all the needs done.
So definitely the communities are very different. Our Public Works Department does really well at prioritizing based on, the number of trips that a road's getting, its safety factors, and making sure that we're addressing those things as far as safety as a high priority first.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with the Calaveras County Chief Executive Officer on this weekend's Motherlode Views, Teresa Hitchcock, talking about the new county budget and also projects in Calaveras County. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We are focusing on Calaveras County government on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, joined in studio by the Chief Executive Officer of Calaveras County, Teresa Hitchcock. And CEO Hitchcock, one thing I haven't asked you about is housing and development. Are you seeing much when it comes to new housing in Calaveras County?
So we have a couple of really exciting projects in Calaveras County. One of them is actually happening in our only incorporated city, Angels Camp. Habitat for Humanity has one of the largest Habitat for Humanity projects going on in Angels Camp. They've broken ground. They're doing the grading right now, and they're going to start construction shortly on, I believe it's either 106 or 109 affordable housing units. We're really excited to have that, because we have such a limited amount of workforce housing within our county. So that's really exciting. The other project that we have going on is actually happening in San Andreas, where our government center is. So we're excited about that one as well. It's 22 units, from Stanislaus Housing Authority. Again, affordable housing so that our workforce will have more options as far as housing choices in our county. So those are both really exciting, brand new. So more to come on that.
Very good. Yeah, a number of topics I'd like to ask you about. One being solid waste, maybe not the most exciting topic, but something we all rely on. So any changes when it comes to solid waste?
Although we're super excited about it. We just opened a brand new cell. The cell, for people who don't know, is where they actually compact the trash that comes in. And when one gets full, you have to open a new one. This is the third cell at our Rock Creek site. It just opened a couple of months ago, and I have to give praise to our solid waste director. She's very innovative and has been really good about making sure that we're staying on top of all of the regulatory requirements, and also trying to make sure that we're operating our solid waste program in a cost-effective way. She recently brought forward solid waste fee for commercial users that our board took a look at it and felt that we needed some more data points before we could actually bring that fee forward. So it's on pause right now, and we'll be doing some additional evaluation of what that really needs to look like in order to support our solid waste program. But between the solid waste Rock Creek facility and then a number of transfer stations, our county residents are pretty fortunate because they can take their trash to within 10 miles of their home, almost anywhere in the county, to get rid of it. And we believe that's very helpful for us as well to keep trash off the roadways.
How about fire preparation? We are right in the middle of the season right now. What's happening when it comes to fire preparedness?
So we have an Office of Emergency Services. Eric Holt runs that. He's doing a number of community meetings right now. We've implemented a couple of programs in order to notify residents when there is a fire hazard in their area. One is Everbridge. That's a program that we're encouraging all of our Calaveras residents to sign up for so that they know if they're in an evacuation zone. We believe it's really important for folks in this area, especially to tap into those resources and make sure that they're keeping themselves and their families safe. Eric also is developing a hazard guide for folks so that they know what they should pack in their to-go kits, what they should have available to them should they need to evacuate immediately. We're also working on evacuation plans for where people need to go, what routes they would take to get out of their area, and those types of things as well. So there's a lot going on in the area of emergency preparedness right now.
Yeah, definitely time to be ready for anything this time of year. How about in regards to parks? There's several parks in Calaveras County. Anything new going on in that realm?
So there are a number of parks. We just finished up a Prop 68 grant for Railroad Flat, which is a new facility for us. And so we're waiting for the closeout on that before we can apply for any additional funding. We finished a parks master planning process last year where we went through all of the different facilities within the county, including ones that aren't county parks, because although they may not be a county park, if they're still publicly accessed, we can apply for grant funding to help those facilities as well. So we have a parks master plan that identifies kind of the priorities, like what parks are people using, what are they using them for, what types of amenities do our constituents want to see in their parks, and we'll use that as our guiding document for where we put any grant funding that we get in the future.
Also curious about the department heads in Tuolumne County. We've seen several department heads come and go recently. In Calaveras County, has there been many changes, and are there any notable positions open right now?
So fortunately for us, we're pretty stable at the moment. We are currently hiring for a health and human services director. We hope to have that filled by September. And I'm really pleased with our department heads right now. They're all very competent and fantastic to work with. They seem to all have a really good grasp of their area that they're responsible for, and they all seem to be working well together. together, because that's the other thing is we really appreciate people who are willing to work across different departments so that we can leverage resources. We're a small county. We don't have a lot of resources. So sometimes getting things done requires more than one department's resources in order to accomplish a task.
Talked a little bit about state and federal uncertainties as relation to the budget earlier. You know, besides those, are there other uncertainties as you look ahead when it comes to finances and things that you'll be keeping a close eye on?
There's always uncertainties. One, you know, you could have a disaster at any moment that would definitely create a huge impact to local government. So really, I think the biggest thing is making sure that we stay conservative, that we're putting away reserves and contingencies so that we have that backup in case something does happen, strengthening those partnerships among different agencies and entities, not only in our county, but with the other surrounding counties, so that we can pull on resources to help us in the event of an emergency. So I think building relationships, ensuring that you have contingency plans and that you're packing away funding in the event something happens, it's all good planning. And I am happy to say that our board is very interested in us maintaining that.
Obviously, every year the county has to pass a new budget. Does the county do kind of like long-term strategic planning as well to look at what priorities are and should be on the horizon?
So we do. We have a capital improvement program where we take a five-year look out. So we're looking at air conditioning units, roofing, plumbing, water heaters, all of those types of things. They're on a replacement program where we're looking at when we anticipate they might fail so that we're actually replacing those things prior to failure, because it's way more expensive to do repairs in an emergency than it is to plan for it, get bids, and do a more orderly progression of replacement. So I have to say my facilities person is fantastic. He's implemented a new software where he's literally tracking everything in all of our county facilities. So it's been very helpful to have that kind of data and know exactly what we're replacing every year so that we can budget for it.
Is the county in a pretty good shape when it comes to reserves and that type of thing?
We are funding our reserves at our statutory requirements at what our board has set. So they're being very mindful of that we are funding reserves at the level that we need to fund them, and also contingencies so that we do have a healthy amount of funding in case something should happen.
You know, a lot of smaller counties and cities, unfunded pension liabilities and things like that are something on the horizon. Is that something as well that you're looking
That's
at?
That's something everybody's worried about. Calaveras has the same concerns as every other jurisdiction. There may be a few jurisdictions in California that aren't concerned about CalPERS unfunded liabilities. Not many. We're kind of in the middle of the pack. I'm not going to say that's fantastic, but we're definitely not at the bottom. I'd rather be closer to the top, but we'll be working on that over the next few years as well.
Well, CEO Hitchcock, we've hit on a lot of topics today. Any closing comments you'd like to make or anything we didn't mention that you'd like to bring up?
I would just like to let folks know that if you have questions about local government, reach out and ask. We're always happy to hear from constituents and answer questions that they might have about what we're doing or what we're planning. Also, there's a tremendous amount of information on our websites. If you're just curious about kind of what's going on, feel free to browse and check it out.
And then Board of Supervisors meetings, when can people attend?
So our meetings are the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, and they're at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Also streamed online as well. I've watched
many
times.
They are.
Well, CEO Hitchcock, thanks so much. We appreciate your time and coming in and get us up to speed everything on Calaveras County government.
Thanks for having us on.
Again, we thank CEO Teresa Hitchcock from Calaveras County for being our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.